listening to New England Public Media News. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is the shortlist, NEPM's Week in Review. Joining us today on the line, veteran Western Mass journalist Dave Eisenstatter and Chris Collins, contributing editor for Franklin County Now. Dave, Chris, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
Thanks, Adam.
This week, the Connecticut Senate passed a police accountability bill, which its colleagues in the House okayed last week. It changes how misconduct cases are investigated, clarifies when deadly force can be used, and bans chokeholds in most cases. Judiciary Committee Chair Gary Winfield, who is African American, pleaded with his colleagues to pass the bill.
We are creating a law that if police do something wrong and they trip over it, then the law affects them. If they don't do something wrong, like I believe that most will not, it doesn't affect them.
And as of this taping, Governor Ned Lamont is scheduled to sign the bill later this afternoon. Dave, this bill did have opposition from police unions and Republicans in the Connecticut Senate. Still, does this legislation go far enough in reforming policing?
I would say absolutely not. But I mean, I don't think that any one bill passed at this time would satisfy what absolutely needs to be done. I see this as kind of the bare minimum, something like banning chokeholds, which should have been done many years ago. A lot of these provisions are absolute no-brainers. This is a bill that can be a first step, but, you know, really to really address the problem, we're going to need to look at the way that we're funding police to solve all these problems that they're not meant to solve. There should be money diverted to other programs that can get mental health specialists to where they need to be, better housing so that police are not dealing with homelessness issues, and a whole range of other things that I really hope to see in coming years.
Chris, meanwhile, in Massachusetts, the House and Senate are trying to work out differences in their own versions of similar legislation. Are they going to be able to come up with something that Governor Charlie Baker, a Republican, is going to be willing to sign?
Well, Baker's going to be under tremendous pressure to sign whatever comes out of that conference committee. When the Senate bill was passed, the first thing I thought was, it's a pretty aggressive bill. And typically when aggressive bills come out of the Senate, they go to the House to get watered down. But the House version was pretty aggressive as well. So I think you're going to see a compromise bill that's going to be substantive. What it's going to look like, though, is going to be sort of the proof of the pudding. But I think Baker is going to have to sign it. Whether he'll veto some provisions of it, I don't know. But that's one of the reasons why they're extending the session, I think, is to get that done.
I think that's a great point about the pressure. I mean, someone like Bruce Tarr, who's the Senate minority leader, can vote present on the bill and not really get any flack for it. For someone like Baker, that's actually going to be a decision maker. That's a huge, you know, that's a huge amount of pressure that none of these other Republicans who voted no on these bills have had so far.
And then speaking of the legislature in Massachusetts, as Chris mentioned, they're headed to overtime. The House and Senate agreed to extend the formal session beyond today's scheduled end date. There's still several high-profile bills to be worked out, including that policing bill that we just talked about, and a full-year state budget. Chris, obviously COVID-19 set lawmakers behind schedule, but the midterm elections for Massachusetts lawmakers are this year, including a primary in about a month. Is it a good idea to be tackling some very significant issues this close to an election?
Well, I'm kind of old-fashioned. I think if you're elected to do a job, you finish the job. Whether or not there's an election coming up or not, they have work to do. And I, you know, this whole idea that we have to break by a certain date to somehow keep the election season pure is ridiculous to me. But we really have to have an operating budget. Some of these cities and towns have got to have numbers, hard numbers, to be able to finalize their budget processes. I'm a moderator of a town that's got that situation right now. They've got to finish this stuff up, whether there's an election or not coming up.
Dave, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I agree 100%. I mean, the election shouldn't have any bearing on stopping them from the work that they do, whether it's now or whether it's in a regular season. These artificial deadlines that they impose on themselves can be useful to get 11th-hour legislation across the border, but they need to get to work. There's a lot to do.
Also this week, state education officials and the Massachusetts Teachers Association agreed to push back the start date for classes, in-person classes at public schools, to give schools more time to prepare given the challenges of the pandemic. Many districts are still pondering how they're going to reopen, and state officials have told them to have plans ready for in-person or remote learning, or a combination of the two. Dave, the Teachers Association has also been saying it's too soon for in-person learning of any kind. Do you think that's the case?
Yes, absolutely. I think that the teachers union is going to, you know, they're the people who are going to have to actually go into these dangerous situations. And it is not fair to put them in that kind of a situation. I don't think that in-person learning makes sense right now as hard. And, you know, it's difficult to say something like that, because I think that distance learning really is not an adequate way to run public education, but it's just not safe. So yes, I think it's very appropriate for the teachers union to have pushed for distance learning, as difficult and as negative as distance learning might be for the students going forward this year.
Chris, some parents are also worried about sending their kids back to school, and they're talking about homeschooling pods where families join together to help educate a small group of children. But some believe this might deepen racial and economic divides in a given community. What do you think about this concept?
Well, not that money should be the factor, but it also could really have a significant impact on the funding for individual school districts. Because if you have a homeschooling curriculum, you lose the money for that kid. Under the way education is funded in Massachusetts, every kid has a dollar amount that goes to their district. And if you take someone out of the curriculum and homeschool them, you lose that money. So there could be fiscal issues. But I understand why the teachers don't want to go back. I wouldn't want to go back either. Having said that, the political reality here is that the DESE commissioner pretty much caved on this. And the extra 10 days is intended to give teachers more professional time to prepare. And I get all that. But this was done really by the commissioner alone. He didn't really consult with superintendents. And the superintendents now have to figure out a way to readjust their schedules to be able to accommodate these extra 10 days. It's happening in Greenfield right now. They had a long discussion about that last night. I don't blame parents and teachers for being reticent about this. I would be too. I mean, you see how quick flu spreads in a regular school year. Now you've got flu that can kill people. I get it. But there's got to be, if not a remote platform that works, there's got to be some kind of a hybrid way that can keep everybody safe and still get the job done.
All right, Chris Collins with Franklin County Now and veteran Western Mass journalist Dave Eisenstatter, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thanks, Adam.
And thank you for listening to The Shortlist, NEPM's Week in Review. Remember, you can catch us at any time wherever you get your podcasts or at nepm.org/podcast hub. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is New England Public Media.